turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Title of this message, Started in Righteousness, Finished to Serve. Romans 5, starting with verse 19, we find in the Word of God, it says this: For as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, the Bible says grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigneth in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, as we look at the Word of God this morning, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that we might open up our hearts and let the Word of God touch them, that we might get our lives in line with your Word. Lord, that we might live holy, we might live pure lives according to your Word, that when we come to the end of our life, we will hear you say, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. We give you all the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus. We ask these things. Amen. I want us to think about the word finished. You see, the word finished. We have started in righteousness and finished, I believe, to serve. Finished to serve God. Now, the word finished can mean two different things. It can mean to end, or it can mean to complete. To end or to complete. In the average church today, 20% of all the regular attendees perform 80% of all the functions a church needs to continue, to move forward. 20% of the people in the church, 1/5 of the congregation are finished, are completed, ready to serve our Lord and Savior, and then the other 80% who refuse are finished. They are at the end of their service. At the end of their service. Passage of Scripture that I love so much is in Titus 2. It says, We are looking for that glorious appearing. I'm looking forward to that day of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He comes back. I'm looking forward to that day. But at the end of that passage of Scripture, it says that we, His own special people, may be zealous for good works, that we might work until that day that He calls us home. You see, I want to ask you this morning, are you finished? Are you at the end? Or are you complete in your life? Now, only 20%, remember this, of the local church performs 80% of the work within that church. Now, if I ask you, are you in the 20% or are you in the 80%? You would find that there's a great gap between what we say we believe and what we actually do as believers. Now, the old devil, Satan himself, when the church was founded upon Jesus Christ, he used persecution to try to stop the church from growing. The early church was persecuted in many ways. There was trials upon every hand on the people that loved to serve God. And then there was many of them that were murdered in the early church. Satan tried to destroy the believer's faith. He didn't want the church to grow. The church was moving forward. So he used the word or used persecution to try to stop the church. But you know what? When the devil used persecution to try to stop the church. It only grew. It only increased. People came from out of the woodwork because they were being persecuted, and yet they wanted to stand for the name of Jesus. And the gospel message, if you look in the book of Acts, and we're studying the book of Acts on Sunday night, in the book of Acts, the church literally just took off, and it just went everywhere. It grew. So the old devil, he tried another tactic to try to stop the church. And what he did was absolutely nothing. You know, as believers became comfortable, as they became comfortable in their churches, as they were no longer under the attack, they just kind of lulled into a sleep. And they ceased from their labors for God. There was no longer persecution. So what have we got to fear? Let's just go to church. And they lull themselves to sleep till today. In the average church, there's only about 20% of the people actually doing what God wants them to do. And 80% are just being lulled to sleep. Well, the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of the church? What are you here for? Well, the purpose of the church is to make saints from sinners and then disciple them so that they will win others to Jesus Christ and therefore multiply the church. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, it says, "Unto the church of God." Paul wrote this letter and he said, listen, unto the church of God, we studied that on Wednesday night, I'm calling you to be saints. I'm calling you to be sanctified. That means to be set apart from the world. I want you to use the gifts of God that the Holy Spirit has given you to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:1, he says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church at Corinth, with all the saints that are there. You know what? We're to preach the word. We're to move forward. Ephesians 1:1, Paul says again, an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, once again, by the will of God, to whom? The saints of God, which are called at Ephesus, faithful in Jesus Christ. Paul says over and over in his letters, I'm writing you these letters to the saints, those believers in Christ Jesus who've been called out of sin. There's a work to do. Don't just sit there. You know what? If we as a church are ever to grow rather than just stall and become stagnant, we need to learn to serve rather than to be served. Wouldn't it be glad if I could get up here and say, listen, 80% of our church is working for the Lord and only 20% are stagnant. Man, it'd be great if I could say, you know, we've got 100% of our congregation out working for the Lord every week. When there's a job to do with the children, we have volunteers. When the job to do with the youth, we have volunteers who come on and do that. But you know what? We're continually seeing our volunteers grow smaller and smaller because they're the 20% who are being worked slap-dab to death. While the other 80% would rather be served. You see, we need to understand what God says. He says, I have called you out, separated you from the world. Salvation is not the end of the experience. It's just the beginning, folks. It's where we get saved. We're separated from the world. We are in Christ. We're endued with power from the Holy Spirit. To do what? To serve God with all our lives. Oh, we're called to serve and we're called to go. But most of us are finished. We're all the way to the end. And we're not doing nothing with that. And I hope and pray that your walk and your work will be one in the church that's alive, that Paul can say, yes, you are working, you are alive in the church. God says, I know your works. Oh, in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, there was a group of believers that was lulled to sleep by inactivity and in their peaceful content. And they started listening to false doctrines of all different kinds. When you're lulled to sleep, let me tell you something. When the old devil comes in and lets you go to sleep in church and you're not doing nothing, it opens the doors for false disciples to come in and steal your lives. Oh, when Christ bought us by the sacrifice on the cross, he paid for us that we might have life, and we have been started as saints in righteousness, and we need to be finished to serve him with all our hearts. Now, how are we to become separated saints for God, serving God this morning? That's what I want us to look at. That was just a warm-up. Here's what we're going to look at. How in the world can this 80% of us that are asleep be called to activity to serve God? Now, well, when God saved you, when God separated you, when God called you to be a Christian, he gave you the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He gave you all the tools in your life that you need to become alive in Christ, to become an active servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know what it takes? One thing I want you to see. We must confess our sin. In 1 John 1, 6 through 9, he tells us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has called us to be a light in the dark world. He's called us to move forward in our Christianity. But we have to have a clear line of communication with God. And folks, we don't have that in our churches today. We've got we're stifled down with all the sin in the world. And if we're going to have that clear line of communication, the Bible tells us we must confess our sin and get our lives right with God. You see, sin is like a couple of weeks ago, it started out a beautiful sunny day. And it was a rather hot day because we've had some real hot temperatures. But I remember everybody was saying it was going to be so hot that day. But you know what happened? About 2 o'clock in the evening, clouds roll in. And before long, those clouds had hidden the sun. And you know, when you're in the shade, it's a lot cooler than when you're out there in 100-degree sunshine. Well, you know what? Storms are like that. When storms push through, they hide the sun from us. Storms in our life hide Jesus Christ from us. And sin is like that storm. Sin acts like a barrier between us and God. And folks, if we have sin in our life, the Bible says God will not hear us. So confession of sin is very important. If someone was reading aloud this morning, Brother Bill asked if you'd turn off your cell phones, why? Well, I'll tell you why. When that old telephone goes off and I'm trying to speak, guess what happens? Everybody's listening to that telephone ring. Amen? It does. Everybody just turns their attention to that telephone, and everybody in church knows exactly who's had that phone on because everybody's looking over there. And you know what? When that phone goes off, they're looking at you. They're not hearing a word that I say. It causes disturbance, doesn't it? It causes confusion. If someone was started talking a conversation or telling a conversation out loud right now, then it would mess up the service. You wouldn't hear, because two conversations at one time brings confusion. And both would gain little because it divides our attention. And when sin comes into your life, and sin is introduced into a believer's life, it divides our attention. And it distracts from our life, and it causes conflict in our life. Now, some of you say, well, I'm not a sinner. Oh, yes, you are. We all are. Somebody was telling me the other day, well, preacher, I do pretty good, but I like to gossip a little bit. Well, that's sin, folks. We don't think of gossip so much as sin. We think, well, you know, we're just not really hurting somebody, but we're just talking about them because this is on my mind, and I'm telling you, preacher, because you need to know this, and what they really like, they're telling me because they like to know, and they want to find out if I know. And that's gossip. And if you go out into the congregation and tell someone else, well, you know what, I was talking to the preacher the other day, and somehow that seems to make it all right. Because you talked to the preacher about it, now you're telling somebody else about it. That's just gossip. And that spreads around. And what does it do? It hurts the character of the person that you're talking about. And a lot of times that gossip kills that person. Well, we all do that, don't we, sometimes. We need to be careful about that. And then there's I hear Christians lie. Well, it's just a little shady truth or a little white lie, but it's still a lie. And that's sin. And it clouds up your relationship with God. It's a barrier between you and God. And the Bible says there's a lot of sins in the world. But there's one that we don't think about a lot of times that's just as bad as sin. The Bible says if you know to do right and you do wrong, then that's sin too. If you know to do something and you don't do it, the Bible says, that's sin. And so many times we have sin by inactivity, you see, in our life. And God says what to do in our life, and we say, well, God, I don't want to do that. So I think I will just pray about it. And if God's told you to do it, you don't need to pray about it. You see, you're just saying, God, I don't want to do that. And to know to do right and do not what is right, or God says, the Bible says, is sin. And when we fall into sin, the Bible says, we need a clear line of communication with God. So he says, we must confess our sin. And you know what? You know what to confess your sin is? When you confess something, you're just saying the same thing God says about it. Lord, I recognize my gossip as a sin. Lord, I recognize my inactivity as a sin. Lord, I recognize my sin, and Lord, I am sorry for my sin, and Lord, I want you to forgive me and restore me to your service that I might have a clear line of communication. And you know, we all know the story of David. He's one of the main characters in the Bible. And David was, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. And we know that David committed murder. We know that David committed adultery. We know David did all kinds of things. And yet God had called him and placed him in the kingship. And you know what? David says this in Psalm 32, verse 3. When I kept silent about my sin, when I was just hiding my sin, when I was inactivity in my sin, my bones waxed old. My bones grew and groaned. In other words, the Holy Spirit worked in his life and was saying, David, you've got sin in there, and you're a miserable person as long as you continue to keep the clouds between you and God. You see? And then over in Psalm 51, he says, Lord, I recognize my sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. Lord, have mercy on me. Wash me. Cleanse me. And God does that. Oh, listen, what we need is 80% of our people on their knees before God. Other 20% won't hurt either. On our knees before God, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I've been silent too long. I've been in inactivity too long. I've been lulled to sleep too long. You see, even if we sin against someone else, in reality, it's not a sin against them. All sin is against God. And we need to recognize that. When we gossip about somebody else, we're gossiping, we're sinning against God. And he says we need to admit our sin and ask him forgiveness, that we can have a clear line of communication between us and God. You see, where the juice flows, where we're filled with that Holy Spirit of God every day. That's what we need to serve God. We need to confess our sin. So that's the first tool that we need as a church, we need as believers, is just simply get on our knees before God and say, Lord, your word's speaking to me. You see, we always think it's the guy over here that needs that. It's not the guy over there that needs it. It's us that need it. You see? Well, that's one tool. The next tool I believe the Bible speaks of that we need if we're going to be serving God and do what God wants us to do is, one, as Christians, and I find as Christians, we don't know a hill of beans about the Bible. You know, most people don't even know that Hezekiah is not a book. You know, it sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like one of them Old Testament books, but it's not. Hezekiah was a king there. Listen, folks, we need to understand the Bible. You know, Paul said, study to show thyself approved, friends. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable, the Bible says, for doctrine. Doctrine ain't going down here to the doctor. That's Granny's on the Beverly Hillbillies. That's what her doctrine was. But, folks, let me tell you, doctrine is the things that we believe in the Word of God, that we stand firm on in the Word of God. Things might change, but the doctrine of God never changes. You see? And I hear people all the time saying, well, preacher, the one church is about as good as the other. No, it's not. Amen. One belief is about as good as another. No, it's not. If they're not teaching the truth of the Word of God, friends, I wouldn't go to a church that's not going to teach the truth of the God, Word of God. You know, you can get out here and have all kinds of celebrations and all kinds of parties and all kinds of things to draw people in, but if the Word of God is not being preached, it's not going to get you anywhere. Someone told me the other day, he said, man, that guy's got a huge church. You know what he said? The guy said, yeah, it's about 3 miles wide and about a half inch deep. That's about right. And folks, that's the way our society is turning today. We're real wide in our thoughts and our doctrines, but we're not very deep in knowing about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we've got to study the Bible, study the Word of God. When God handed the Word down to mankind, and it was given by inspiration of God, he said, this is my holy Word. Not one little bit ought to be changed are taken away from, and yet we do that. Not only that, it contains all the wisdom that we'll ever need to finish the course that God wants us to run. Man, when you're in the Word of God and you're applying His laws to your life, you will see that you can effectively then serve God as a born-again believer, because this Bible is God's Word. It's a living Word, and it has everything I need to know how to raise my children. I don't need to read Dr. Spock's book. You know, I wish you parents would just say, hey, I'm going to teach my children the Word of God. You know what? Back when I grew up, I said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. That's taught in the Word of God. When it says, honor your parents, honor your those over you elders, and say, nah, that don't get it. Man, you know what that got me? About 3 foot backwards. Yeah. Got me a black eye. Got me a whooping. And you wonder why the kids don't learn today. Man, I tell you what, We need to find out what the Bible says, how to raise our children, how to give them the laws in their life that they may be able to stand. Children, honor your father and mother. Parents, honor your children. You know, do what's right in the Word of God. Teach them, love them with all your heart, and they'll honor you. Rarely does a day go by that I don't eat. I like food. Food likes me. It clings to me. The Bible, see, that's biblical too, because it says, cling to that which is good. And I've been clinging to it for now a lot of years. But let me tell you something. I usually try to get at least 3 good meals a day. It doesn't matter how much. You can cut down on your eating and still enjoy it. And I found that out in the last few months. But rarely does a day go by that I don't eat. Rarely does a day go by that I'm not doing something that I like to do. Rarely does a day go by that I don't turn on the golf channel and watch golf or westerns and watch westerns. Y'all do that? You eat? But just think about it. This is the food we really need to fill our spirit. And how many times a day goes by that we never pick up the Word of God? You see, if we all fed ourselves the Word of God like we feed ourselves nourishing food, then we would understand the Word of God. You don't need a doctor's degree to understand the Word of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And if you will sit down and you will ask God, say, Lord, you know, I don't understand this word, but let your Holy Spirit reveal it to me and just read it and mull it over and think about it and pray about it, then first thing you know, a light will come on. It'll come on in your mind, and it says, whereas by one man's disobedience. Now, most of y'all know by that. It's talking about who? Adam. See? That's just simple, isn't it? If you study the Word of God, by one man's disobedience, we know when Adam sinned, the Bible says all sinned. And then it says many were made sinners. That sin is passed down to every person born. So also by one man's obedience. Who is that? Jesus Christ. You see, that's simple, isn't it? But people don't understand that a lot of times. They're reading that and they say, well, I don't understand what it said. But if you ask God to just read it slow in your mind and think about it, and you study the Bible, then you know Adam sinned, we all sinners. But by Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. Many will be saved, it's talking about. Oh, listen, folks. It's just that easy. Study the Word of God. Imagine going 6 days without food. You're not going to get very healthy like that. And yet, we don't read our Bible for 7 days a week or a month. Or sometimes the only time we read it is in a Sunday school class when it's being taught. Or we read it maybe while a preacher's preaching. We read over verses of Scripture, you know, as he reads it. And yet, we wonder why, oh, Lord, why don't I understand your Word? You know, we're not going to go very healthy if we just read it for about 10 seconds in a church service. And yet that's the way the average church member reads the Word of God. Sad, isn't it? Sad. Now, I didn't say that was you, but I'm saying that's about the average church member. Only you know what you're doing. Paul said, I wish I could speak to you as spiritual, but you're not. You're carnal. Even babes in Christ, he says. Little babes is all you, and he's talking to churches here. You're a babe in Christ. I fed you with milk and not meat because you couldn't bear it. You didn't understand it. I'm still having to give you milk, and you should be on the meat of the Word. In other words, he says, you're like a baby. You're still on the bottle. You know, if a baby's 10 years old and he's still sucking a bottle in school, it's going to be kind of embarrassing. But yet, as Christians, that's what we are. we find ourselves, well, I've been saved ever since I was 12 years old, preacher. But we don't know anything about the Bible. I always say, why don't you quote the Bible for me? Why don't you say the books of the Bible? Well, I don't know them. Why not? You've been saved since you was 12 years old. Why don't you know where the books of the Bible are? Why do you have to look at the front and put this is on page so and so? Okay. You know, I've known Christians that do that. And you ought to know if it's in the old or new. You ought to know something about it by now. And Paul says, I'm still having to give you the milk. When we first come to Christ, we are babes in Christ, but we should grow. We desperately need the substance in order to grow. And he says, take on the word of God. It is your salvation. He says, not only that, the old devil's going to try to tempt you. I'll guarantee you, when you're saved, the first thing he wants to do is pull you away. He's going to try to tempt you with a lustful eye. He's going to try to tempt you with finances. He's going to try to tempt you in all different ways. And you need to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Man, you don't get pushed over. That you can stand firm in the word of God. And you'll be able to put off those fiery darts that the old devil's throwing at you. And next time somebody says something just a little bit off in church, you're going to say, hey, that's wrong, brother. You don't talk like that. We're believers in Christ. We must be separated from the world. You know, we're different. I found that out in Ephesians. We're to put on the whole armor of God, and you can share that with him. Or if somebody's in church and they come up and start to gossip and say, hey, let's don't talk about that. Let's look at the good things that are happening. Let's look at the blessings that God has blessed us with. Let's don't focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive. You see, old Satan tries to block us. He wants to tempt us. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. You know, Jesus went into the wilderness and the old devils come there and said, hey, you know, you don't have to go to the cross. You just follow me. I'll give you all that down there. And oh, Jesus said, it is written. He quoted the word of God to him, folks. So that's the tool. First, you need a clear line of communication. Is there any sin in your life that you just need to confess? And then you need to get into the word of God and start reading the word of God. Let's move on. I don't have much time. We're already over time. Pray. Matthew says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Our Father wants you to talk to him. And folks, I know as Christians we fail to pray. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. That don't mean you have to go around thinking you're holier than everybody else, but you ought to have a clear communication with God that at any moment you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, and know that he hears your prayer. You see, when I talk to him, I want to know that he's listening. I want to know my prayers get higher than that ceiling. And the only way you can have that is if you confess your sin, have a clear line of communication with him, you're reading the word of God, and you're in tune with him on a daily basis. Oh, our relationship with God needs to be there. So confess your sins and study the word of God and pray. Max Lucado once wrote a book, and he said there was a man who dared God to speak. I dare you to speak, Lord. God, if you're going to speak, I want you to speak to me like Moses. I want you to burn a bush. God, if you're going to speak, I want to see you collapse that wall like you did for Joshua at Jericho. He said, God, if you're God, I want you to steal the waves like you did on the Sea of Galilee. And then, God, I'll listen. So he went out and sat down by a bush and a wall and an ocean. And he sat there and sat there. People would come by on fire for God out of the little church on the hill and ask him why he was sitting there. And he said, well, if God's going to speak, I want him to burn that bush. I want him to tear down that wall. I want him to cause that sea to be smooth. You know what? He never saw the burning bush. He never saw the wall fall, and he never saw the sea peaceful. And he said, God, I didn't think you were who you said you would be. And God said, listen, fella, I sent fire, not for a bush, for a person's soul. I brought down a wall, not a brick, but a sin. I steal the storm, not of the sea, but in a person's life. He said, I've been speaking all along, but you're not hearing me. You see, sometimes God speaks to us in those still small voices. He calms our soul. Oh, listen, but we don't hear because we've got our own concept, our own thing about what we ought to think God is in our life. And we've lost the line of communication with God because we hadn't studied the Word of God and we hadn't prayed. Let me ask you this morning, are you the 80% that's finished? You're just doing nothing? Are you the 20% that's the finished, the beginning, complete in Christ? Have you lost your power? Have you lost your power? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be doing everything you can to find some place to serve or doing something. You see, I've got people up here. I won't call no names because I'm not going to give them praise because they'll get all their praise in heaven and glory. I'll tell them personally, but I'm not going to tell them in front of the congregation. But, you know, I got people up here in this church that if I need something, they're up here to do it. I work them to death. You know, I wish there was somebody else that I could just call that I know that would be there in a heartbeat. Got people that opens up the doors of the church, people to put out the envelopes in the church, people who come and clean the church when it's need to be. You know, folks, have we lost our power? Are we at the 80% that just comes on Sunday? Is that you? God wants you to be alive. He wants you to serve. Serve Him. Listen, folks, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, then you need to come first and just accept Him as Lord and Savior. Agree with Him that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. If you're at the 80% that's not doing nothing, the Bible says you've got the tools. You just need to come down and confess. Start reading your Bible and praying to God and say, Lord, I want to serve. I want to get on the active list. You see, Matthew says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you come this morning? Would you come for salvation? Would you come? Maybe you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has called you to. Would you come and join in His fellowship? Don't join just to get your name on a roll, but join to serve God. You see? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for these that are here. And Lord, may we clear our communication line with You. May we confess the sin that's in our heart. May we just open up the Word of God and study it, and that it'll become alive, a fire in our soul, that the walls of sin may come down in our life and the storms in our life will be peaceful. God, we'll give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.